Friends, I'm turning this morning to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11 and verse 26. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And when he, that's Barnabas, had found him, that Saul, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And we are asking the question this morning, a very basic question: are you a Christian? And that's a very important question to ask. Why it is such an important question to ask. But first, this text tells us that there were these friends in Antioch. Antioch is just towards the north of Jerusalem. If you read the Bible, we have two kinds of Antioch, so don't confuse them. We have Antioch in Syria and Antioch in Pisidia. The Antioch in Pisidia comes later in Acts of the Apostles, somewhere in chapter 13, 14. And so this is the Antioch in Syria, right towards the north of Jerusalem. So not far from Jerusalem. So the gospel had moved from Jerusalem, is going to other parts of the world, and it comes to Antioch. And here in Antioch, some people turned to the Lord. We are told that these people were brought to the Lord. They were brought to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were called Christians. It's the first time the word would be used. And most likely, they were using this word as a kind of a scorn. They were ridiculing them. Because the name of the Lord Jesus Christ at the time, for most people, especially those who had nothing, who had no knowledge of Christianity, it was a name of scorn. They were ridiculing him. Because he was crucified on the cross, shamed in public. And so there was no honor whatsoever associated with that. Sam Reno, let's say, because you'll be a Christian here. No, that's all. Your friends say Christophono. And now, if I say, I'm a person, I'm a destry one cry. It says there are Jesus Christ. Now, and I'm saying, you're not going to be anymore. I'm not saying you're not saying you're not going to be anymore. I was saying you're not 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 saying. And so that was the idea. But my dear friends, you know, one of the amazing things in history is that Christianity or genuine Christians are often seen in times when they are being scorned than when they are being praised and admired. It is often said that Christianity is seen when it is not in silver slippers. When Christianity is not the attractive thing of the time. Then you see genuine Christians. Then you see those who really belong to the Lord. And it like I said, Christianity say kudu san renoa, nimpebebre emu mununua. San Reno, what time will a Christian form? Because a son say, San Reno, so be per se, or friend, so a Christian here, no, just say, or Pia Yankasa, just say, or Fano, in Umrim Wankasa. And so it was quite striking. The very moment Christianity becomes popular and everybody wants to be associated with it, then comes also the large number of hypocrites that claim to be part of it too. And that has always been the challenge to the Christian witness everywhere in the world. So friends, these friends were called Christians simply means adherents of Christ. Those who are sticking to Christ, cleaving to Christ. We more and more, or maybe we more attachery in Radi Yesu Christo no, and now more, Ephraim Christopher, Ewahanum. Now, yeah, same this son of Penny say, who's who you're Christian here now? Are you a Christian? But first of all, I want to try and explain why it is such an important thing. It is such an important thing to answer this for yourself. Because becoming a Christian is not like joining a club. So that maybe I like this club, I don't like this one. I like that club, I like that society, I don't like that one. It's not like that. And so, it's not, some people think that they want to choose. Well, I choose to be a Muslim. I choose to be a traditionalist. I choose to be something else. My dear friend, it isn't like that. Ube Christian and yendia wu choose to say your pesa we. It sounds like, friends, the difference is between, if you know your Bible a little bit, the difference is between those who are in the ark of Noah and those who are outside it. It is the difference between those whom the angel of death, when it was traveling through Egypt, will kill or will pass over and spare. Will be a Christian, and that's when you're Christian, you know, and you're the one, say the Noah, need your name for to her. Noah, ni share no more. Ni one or more in him. And I won't want, sir, both for a small so called for a Egyptian, obekum one, and I say in kumo. In other words, to be a Christian is to be those who really have life, to have spiritual life in the Lord. Only Christians know God. Only Christians, friends. People, when you say this, people say you are bigoted. You are a bigot. Things like this. But friends, it doesn't really matter what people say. What matters is what God says. Only Christians know God. Only Christians know God personally and relate to Him. Only they have received from His hand pardon and new life and been changed by the power of the Lord. Only they understand what is it and why the Lord Jesus Christ came and gave Himself to sinners. And so it is. Only Christians and us only Christians, my dear friends, only us have capacity to be sincere toward God. You may marvel at those. Only Christians can be sincere toward God. And I will touch on that a little bit later. Because you see, everybody puts up a show. That's what the Bible tells us in Psalm 49. Everybody puts up a show when it comes to religious matter. Everybody wants to impress and to let people admire them. Only a Christian say, let God approve of me. Let God says I am right. Let God accepts me and I don't care about anything else. Only Christians can do that, my dear friends. Only Christians. Only Christians have understanding of life. Its purpose. Why we are here. Only Christians can grasp it and pursue it and enjoy it. Only Christians, my dear friends. Oh, as I'm making now with you and yourself. Christopher, when you want, you see, Omunim Yankopan Cassa. Christian Fuquan, you want me to me, Omun Ehunu Facha, where you write, yes, Christian, and he said, your sacra and crofono. Christopher, when you want, Omun Bitchmi, I no cre, Ewen Yankopoinin, Nimpingina, Ewedia, ye. Impressing Crawford. Yeah, you said you're being Crawford. Ebe share on Marcus. Say, hey, share no son. Oh, yeah, dear pa. Yenya. Say, Eradi, Emphan in some kayan, because I say, you want to know. And so we are never able to be genuine towards God. Only Christians know answers to prayer. Only us. No genuine answers to prayer and gracious interventions of the Lord in our lives. Christopher Kwan, ne ya social sedia nyankopon etim pae, no sunny ye ebayen chembe boyen, ewa tibia, ehuni edimo. Only Christians, of course, have a genuine, unfailing hope beyond this life. Christopher Kwan, ne when you daswa, saunkwa ichi, ewun kodien kwamo. And so only Christians. So my dear friends, I hope you understand why the inquiry is important. Are you a Christian? We are Christian. And so my dear friends, it's a thing you must consider. But I will soon just try to give you a picture. I'm now going to give you a picture of a Christian. But let me start with a very common misunderstanding of a Christian. A very common misunderstanding. The uncle Fujini ever Christ the or ye Christian you want and ye no cre and yes say ni radiasam e katrayen. In fact ye kase nio ye Christianino onim de na huo deny ne yi daso e triankasa. What are the foundations of his hope? He knows this very clearly. When Hunu say obi Edro Samson pen. Have you seen pictures of Samson? Usually, he's a very muscular person and huge, probably 9 feet, 10 feet, isn't it? That's the picture. So, when you picture before Samson, your mind picture say, if you crop a tin tin, I showed you how to crab a castle, I say. And I'm saying, yeah, you come with some, and you're more, yeah, ain't it? But dear friends, most likely, Samson would have been an ordinary figure. You know why? Because his strength wasn't in his muscles. His strength came from the Lord. If you looked at the Christian, you may see some things on the outside that you think these are his hopes. You make a mistake. They are not. I will tell you where his real hopes are. So what the things I'm going to mention, Christians do them. You will see Christians doing them. And I will tell you why they do them. When people are not genuine Christians, they do these things, and these things are their hopes. A Christian does these things, and it is not his hope. His hope lies somewhere else. These things are merely fruits of them. They are the outflows of them, you see. And so it's very important, my dear friend, to appreciate this, because otherwise you look upon somebody on the outside and you make a huge, huge mistake. Say, because of being a Christian here, you'll be able to say, you know, my baby power, but now, what you may say, son, you know, you ain't in a man, you're a Christian, but I'll be there, yes, sir. Nature and your son, they said, son, you know, you're a man, you know. If you must speak to me, I the same thing, I'm almost seeing a Christian. In the Christian, you know, yes, son, you know, and yet only need that so, and yet only in your man, or the need to miss the cassette, and them son, you mean to me, show some of your Christian, there be that. Now, make a dear, and no Christian. No more sad, you know. Obiant me, maybe. Just any paconia Christianium, aram, para. I will come then to them very peculiar distinctive about Christians, which only they can possess. No one can even pretend it, because it is so, so spiritual and so divine. It must come from God. So first of all, let me mention some of the mistaken distinctives. And all of them, some people can do the same. Some people who know nothing about Christianity. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke about that also in other parts of scripture. And so, what are those mistaken distinctives? Oh, well, some people think, well, he's a Christian because he's been baptized. And is a member of a church. Even a member of a Bible teaching church. Oh, you're a Christian, who know you're born in Sukra. No, you're a cerebral crown, so I'm sorry. In Acts chapter 8, there was a man that was baptized there. Eventually, the apostles had to tell him, you must have your heart still enslaved by Satan. Go and seek mercy from the Lord afresh. And so, you may have people that are really baptized and are members, and yet may not be true Christians at all. My dear friend, you may not know this, but pastors who preach the gospel, who preach about the Lord Jesus Christ, will tell you that there are people whom they have baptized, and they have wished they never did. After a while, it's a common thing, sadly. A number of times, and so we may have been baptized and even been members of a Bible teaching, Bible believing churches, and yet we ourselves may not be so. Oh, but the person also reads the Bible. He reads it every day. When he gets up in the morning, the first thing he reads is the Bible. Well, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ accused the Pharisees that they read the Bible always, and yet they cannot believe in him. They were reading the Bible. And Apostle Paul said that, he said that in 2 Corinthians, they read the Bible. When they were reading the Bible, they have a cloth, they have a covering, a veil on their minds. So they cannot grasp the things that they should grasp. I'm looking at one Bible. Dying in answer there. And so the Bible said, so you may be a Bible reader, which is a good thing. I dare not discourage you on these things. I dare not. But be careful of resting any hopes in that. You know, when I get up in the morning, my first thing is I read my Bible. Well, that's good. But please don't rest your hopes upon that. It will disappoint you. No one is saved simply because he reads his Bible. Never. Another one. But I pray also. I pray every morning. And I pray a number of times in the day. You remember those two persons in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican? When they went into the house of the Lord, the man that the Lord Jesus Christ said that God condemned, when he went, he told God, "Oh God, you know that I pray twice every day." And so it was a habit. He's from the habit of praying every day. By the way, the real truth is that he cannot pray real prayers. He can go through the motions of prayer and assure himself that he's praying. And so it may be. Biso says, "Mi bom pae abrevia, mi sariano pa mi bom pae pa." Friends, I'm saying, "Name radio." Etaka san se mi waha omamuko pa kusu ko bom pae netiti saying, "You dare not discourage praying. You dare not discourage. Men ought to pray everywhere," says the scripture. Esan kofu bom pae bedia benso ubia emwara. No, friends, that will fail you. That will disappoint you. That's not where the hopes of Christians lie. It isn't there. Christians, we need to ask any hope. Say a bomb pie. What about regular church attendance? Every day I go to church. Every meeting I'm there. And I never miss any meeting. I make sure I'm at every meeting. Well, if a person comes to meetings, that's good. It's a place to go and hear the word of the Lord. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ told us that of those who hear the word of the Lord, there are some people it doesn't benefit. They hear and Satan comes to steal it. So it doesn't benefit them. And so I've gone, I've heard, but what is that? Who says it benefited me? It's not simply because I went. And yes, I said, "I'm a koyanti, na chese yam faswama mi debi." Enti, because I've been between me alcohol saying yam faswa bi ayema o. Eradi Yesu Kristo, ekaye. And so, meet me alcohol regularly. And so, oh, but what about some moral life? I stop many of the bad things I do. And I'm a nice person. And I don't commit the sins other people commit. Come to my workplace, come to my office. When people are taking the bribes, I don't. I do my work exactly. Friends, these things gonna need it. We need people like that, don't we? Surely, so we dare not discourage it. It's good if everybody were a nice person. If people wouldn't insult their friends, and you can leave your doors open. And travel to Cape Coast and come back, and nothing has happened to your property, anything like that. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Same first, your husband said, "Meet me, hey, jump up in the crowd to her. Let me take one crowd, Kabishia, anything, have a power. I can just leave my car anywhere in the city, doors open, windows down, and then my bag and everything in it intact. I can just leave it there for 3 days, and I can come, and everything is intact. That would be wonderful. We'll all enjoy that." And so, my dear friends, now be good at FFA. But if people did this, will it mean that they are Christians? Oh, friends, no. You know why? Until you are a Christian, your motivation will always be selfish. For me, for my admiration, for my praise. The Bible says that those who are the Lord, they are praises of God. Your motivation will always be me. And that condemns me. I am the center. People must admire me. People must see me. People must point fingers at me. No, 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 no. Everything must glorify the Lord. And so you see, this is why moral I fail. And by the way, all we can do, the very best we can do, is merely fix the outwards. We can never touch our hearts. We can't. Jeremiah captured Israel from some time ago. I say, "Have you seen, can a leopard change his skin? How can you also, who are accustomed to evil, do good?" You wouldn't touch the heart. And if friends, let me tell you this. Friends, it is very easy. It is very easy. If I really want to create an impression and draw admiration, to work very hard to fix the outward part of my life so nicely. It is so easy. You only have to be motivated enough. motivated enough by self desire for self honor and self praise and impression. It's so easy. It's not difficult at all. But to deal with the heart, my pride, my selfishness, my lusts, my love for show, my love for things, these things are hard. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about. Said the baby me be shame no bad ma be easy. So be a bit na fix na brabo dear wabontino. But on she said na kuma na hopo I be wanna kuma na hante wana kuma ne pessimin kunya wana kuma ne ni tai ne doma nyoma ne ni danswe shri nyoma esenyan kupon. That's the hardest work, my dear friends. This is why moral life is never safe. We must encourage it. It makes society a nice place. But friends, it is nothing before God. And so, friends, do I dare another? I want to move away quickly because I know this is very depressing. What if I'm very kind to people? Me for pa, me chacha dear pa, me a misaka maketia, me a cra mint me, mindia himbia, me kwa de chichesa. Oh, nice thing. This is a self centered world. To be able to relieve others is always a beautiful thing. And we dare not discourage that. Amazing thing is, when I've done all the kindness, you know, it can never wash away the sins I've committed, you see. So that's not the kind of thing that makes me acceptable. And so it is. Friends, let me add one more. What if I even preach as I'm doing? What if I even become a pastor? And I preach to others. Let me even go further. And I even preach about Christ. Does that make me a Christian in itself? Christians who preach about Christ. But simply because I preach about Christ, itself doesn't mean that I even know Him. Me cry, me ka Christ, the ones are anxious, me ninguang kasa. Some of you know the story of the Wesleys, don't you? The Charles and John Wesley. And your Methodist, sorry, muni mo history. Charles and John actually were part of a group in Oxford. You know the name of that group? Holiness Club. Can you imagine? Holiness. And they lived strictly. Morally, they were excellent groups on campus. And eventually, they became ministers. They became pastors, preachers. Oh, dear friends, their story makes us all scared. They became preachers. And they didn't only preach in London, they accepted to travel elsewhere to Newfoundland, USA, specifically Georgia, to go and preach the gospel to others. Charles and his brother John. And then you know, it's when they came into contact with those persons, they were called Moravians at the time. Then it struck John, both of them very strongly. And they said that these people seem to have something we don't have. And that's what set them seeking. So when they went back to England, they went to their meeting, the meeting of the Moravians. And so, my dear friends, my concern is to strip away every hope except one. Which is the only one we are given. Then what I didn't say, need us to be a. And what people used to say, oh, listen to me, a Christian. May you know if you are just about to open the Quran and no one in your scripture in my head. If I said, we mono, or me back to us, or no one back to us, or quite strong course, say, sa, fapim, bakone, young radiesu, diameno, in your emeo, that single foundation. And so, my dear friends, I hope. If you are thinking yourself a Christian, you are not thinking so because of these things you do them. What if I do all of them together too? Yes, you're not. In itself, doesn't make you a Christian. If this is your hope, when you need us, what dear? And so what is it? What is that distinctive foundation? What is that special thing about Christians? What is that secret of their hope? Dear anyone, and you dare so I won't know. Now friends, we don't often do this in our gospel services. But just to be able to let you see a place to read for yourself, I'm going to Philippians chapter 3. And I would pick out two or three verses here. And then I explain them and we close. Philippians chapter 3. And so Philippians chapter 3. Just reading from verse 4 to 6 first. That's not my emphasis, but just to give you a little bit of the background. 4 to 6. So this is the Apostle speaking. Apostle Paul. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath that whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now Apostle Paul is going to meet some people in Philippi who were exalting themselves over the churches. These people were Jews. And they were evidently very nice people. And some of them had made professions of faith. Some of them were claiming they were Christians. But you know, but it showed that their foundation wasn't true because they were beginning to lean on some other things. Yes, we accept Christ. Yes, we accept Christ. But they're also leaning on something else. And Apostle Paul is desirous to say, hey, wait a minute. If these are the things they want to lean on, I can do it too. But something has happened. Something powerfully has happened to me. If you want Philippi, I'm sorry, huh? Or more, see, or more your Christian food here, and a problem is sorry in the early church. A number of persons making profession of faith, especially on the Jew side, I faith, you know, or more person, when you need that, so equity be before us, or more ever poor idea as a Christian. Yes, your pain already is a Christian here. We trust in him and we trust in his shed blood. But we need these things also. And some of these things are the things that the Jews will pride themselves in. The kind of thing that the Jews will talk about. And you're my Jew for me and they have war water. And the Apostle Paul said, oh, be better me, I said, me cry to me, I am more. And then he went on and he named some of them. And look at how strictly this man lived. Verse 4. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Please, do you understand what he means by this? These were great accolades in those days. So the friend from South Korea, at least any coaches apostle put him the line, baby, you're free. And he and you was those lines. No, why never the first king of Israel? He was a Benjamite, King Saul. And so be friend who saw a Benjamite, or was our pride, you know, and when moon so be a camel. And so apostle Paul said, I come from that pride, from that tribe, and I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Meaning there were some Hebrews that I've gotten mixed up. They said they've lost their Hebrewsness, if we can say that. And when we are Hebrew, maybe Akofrafra. And some of the things that strict Hebrew would do and respond to, they've lost them all. Those people were called Grecian Jews in those days. And when Ashuri, when we are Hebrew, when apostles, maybe Shrishi, I am a strict Hebrew. Everything a Hebrew does, I do. Our religion, our conduct, our persuasions, I hold them all. He says this. Now, as touching the law, a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the strictest when it comes to keeping the law. I'm here, strict power, said here, what person show our brother, also, and for we to have say, and for her say, at this time, I'm here, strict power, possible say, let me come home, as touching the law. Concerning Zimmy, bombing woman in power, so persecuting the church. I was so zealous that if you will not stand with me, I come against you. And so I was doing that. And then, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Can you imagine that? This is a morally excellent man. My dear friends, if you met a Pharisee in those days, if he was a true Pharisee, I can tell you, you cannot touch his character on the outside.
You can't. They were excellent on the outside. That was why when the Lord Jesus came preaching and was stirring their heart, they became angry. You know the reason? When people think they are nice on the outside, their biggest problem is pride. Personal admiration. I'm excellent. You can't criticize me. You can't say I'm wrong. Then they will come at you. Because they are excellent in their own eyes. The Pharisees were like that. And this is why God will cast them off. They are so wonderful in their eyes. They don't need a savior. So, and remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5. I think it's verse 21. He said that if your righteousness does not exceed that of the Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Their religion never touched the heart. The pride, the selfishness, the love for money. The Lord Jesus gave us scathing challenge in Matthew 23. You remember that? Their love for things. Their love for anything that exalted them. Anything that will exalt them, they are so zealous for it. If you can see in it, I will have opportunity to be exalted and be seen. Oh, the Pharisee will burn with every inch of his energy to get it. And the Lord Jesus Christ, shame. Shame. This hypocrisy. It's self covered in religion. It's the pursuit of self covered with a seeming interest in God. And so the Savior condemned it. And so, my dear friends, you see why outward things can be deceptive? And then Apostle Paul comes to what he has found. Yeah. Verse 7. But what things were gain to me, the things I will regard as profit, a treasure, something to be proud about, those I counted loss for what? For Christ. I counted them as nothing for Christ. Those things that I could have admired myself, I saw them to be nothing when I saw Christ. When I saw the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, he goes on. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He sees something as above it all, the excellency of Christ. I counted everything as loss, everything as nothing. For whom I have suffered, he's saying that he accepts this. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Everything is so to me. My dear friends, what is he saying? Let me break it down for us. The first thing he's saying is this, and this is the Christian special distinctive. A Christian is that person who is come, having seen that the Lord Jesus Christ died for needy sinners, he's seen himself as having nothing. Nothing to admire, nothing to talk about, nothing to make him proud, nothing to talk about to others. He has found himself to be nothing. It starts with me. Everything is stripped. My dear friends, this is the beginning, you see. Christian is standing for Chrono. Bro, who say you're a dear to Christian, you're a couple small, a man, the boy, you're a phone. In fact, with the radio sequence, it seems saying, not so carry and your man abode over to oh, me will say, make me I say, make me I sound so. But the very moment that you bring it back, Christ, the Savior of the world, is given to us, he says, I have nothing. Don't talk about them. I have nothing. And so you see, all self-confidence, self-righteousness, self-conceit, and high-mindedness about myself are all stripped down. to nothing. And this is the power of knowing Christ. Dear friends, that's what brings the difference between hearing about Christ in the ear and embracing Him with the heart. That's the difference. Difference is what we radio Christ to masum na matim posa mitumi ketcha fufro. And I mean, dima kumankasa atunusu. The difference about no. Bibia mia mochere. Bibia mia mishemum kasi. But nchema ma yese ma yese. Friends, oh, ningina. And yes, I wish I count. Apostle, I count them. I regard them as they are nothing. O push you crack in the count. And that's what he says in verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things, but loss. I didn't know so crowd. So, what is the Christian's distinctive hope? It is this. The person who is a Christian says that, I do not care about me. I do not care about what people think of me in this world. All I care for is that the Savior has received me and has washed me and made me His child. That's all. Everything else seems so insignificant. In fact, friends, and they are. Everything is shallow. Everything is transient, isn't it? Bibia echem. Bibia emi. Death. Everything passes away. Only the Savior endures. And so, and then he says something also, because you see, one of the helpful things about the Bible, my dear friends, and I want you to please put it on your mind, if you are sincere and don't want to be deceived, sincerely, for the desire not to be deceived itself comes from the Lord. If you don't want to be deceived, the Bible has everything to keep you safe. But please beware of something very common these days. Everybody has carved out in his own mind the kind of religion he wants. Please, I plead with you, don't do that. It will become a snare. Because you see, all of us live in darkness. We know nothing. God must teach us. He must show us. Imagine, who is a teacher here, please? Supposing you had a student that came to your class, and you are a maths teacher. He came there and said, sir, you know, as for me, I don't like algebra. So, SHS 1 or JHS 1 to JHS 3 or SHS 1 or SHS 3, please. All that you should teach me is addition. Only that. Teach me that. That's what I want. Well, of course, that teacher will say, well, don't come to my class. I have a whole number of things to teach you. You expect you get to a doctor. You go to the hospital. Well, you are suffering from back pain or severe migraine, headache. You go and say, doctor, well, I'm here. I know I have a back problem. I know I have a headache. But you know, the only medicine I can take in this world is paracetamol. Don't go anywhere beyond that. Well, of course, don't go and heal yourself. The South people have carved their own religion. I plead with you, don't do it. It's to create a snare. You will fall into that easily. That your mind will roam around selecting those nasties, the carving you have in your mind. This is why when you become a Christian, God strips away everything of self. My opinion, my liking, my desire. And you say, all I want is Him, Christ, to be my all. To be my all. Dear Mr. Shani, Radhi Yusuf Christ, Ono Ankasa, Namikase, Ono Ankasa, Men, Shishet, Asmidu, Ochim, Omi, Esma, Me, Pepa, Ani, Ni, Adit, Say, Meseo, Nyankopon, Sunu, Yis, Ono An, Wakache, Nye, Ono, No, Ye, Nyankopon, Yis, Ono An, Wakache, Nse, Di, Yen, Sunu, Meseo, Nye, 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 Yoko, Kache, Radhi, Me, Dye, Kwe, Me, Pesa, Me, Sunu, Ni, 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 ano na oyeyi ankopon inti ebrayan ho asne se de onobetchen kwen onopese yekon nchen so won pese wo yesadia ubebo efidie kasia mo ho beto na nshi won free mudda and bra wo shem na wo ye bibia wo akwa beka cho mi teme sminya mi teme sminya mi but what if free mo what if efidie bi mo and that you will never come out, my dear friends. And so the Apostle Paul was stripped of that. He had that kind of religion. A Pharisee had that kind of mentality. And he was stripped of that entirely. My dear friends, this is the Christian. And then because he's seen everything as empty, and including himself, this is his one ambition. Look at the last line in verse 8. And do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith. The FN said, at the time the Apostle Paul wrote these, he had become a Christian for a long time. It is the same thing that was always standing before him. You know why, dear friends? Because that's the only sure foundation Christians have. We don't graduate from that. We will learn a number of things. We will test a number of things. We'll go through a number of things. And yet this is the only foundation we have from the beginning to the end. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our only hope. We don't say, well, I started only trusting, thinking I'm trusting. Now I've got to a point where I think I'm trusting in the fact that I am such a person. I am such a person. Friends, it will fail you. It is the only hope throughout life. Yang kwa bringi ne mwen kwani and yini da so. You ready? Yes, Christian, it's in here. He demand the boy here for no. And see, Christian in here. We wouldn't sell no one because any bribia or be to me, I demand crow on one. Now we would say that we are singing at a set bola. So that you took Christ to one. Then Christ to one. He's ever seeking Christ. This is his greatest ambition. He will not stop his schooling. He will not stop his work. But underneath whatever pursuit is this burning desire that I may know Christ, that I may learn of him, that I may be like him, that I may please him, that my heart may stand right with him. Said the beam come be jine win in him. Said you be pinning me. Said the beam no obe kind me I can crawl for him. Friends, so how can you become a Christian? It's very simple, the Bible puts it. How do you become a Christian? We say, go to him. You go to the Savior. A few weeks ago, myself and the elders in the church had been trying to find a help for a young lady who cannot get away from the idea that in order for her to become a Christian, somebody must lead her into prayer. Have you heard of that before? Prayer for salvation. There are various ways you call it. In fact, I was coming from Cape Coast to one of those places, is it in Wutu or somewhere? I don't forget where it is. Somebody's really put that signboard there, and it has only the prayer. You know, those prayers, we call it sinner's prayer, and things like this. Dear friends, the best I can do for you is to discourage you from that and simply ask you to go to the Lord yourself. If you realize, if you recognize the fact that I am not a Christian, I have rested my hopes upon some things I do or some things I don't do. Now you know they are vain. Go to the Lord. Tell him. Tell him of your case. You say, oh, I've never prayed. I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. Dear friends, if you have truly seen your need, if you have truly seen that while I was resting my hopes upon the Father, all the community where I live, everybody says I'm a nice person, I'm a kind person, and I pray and I read my Bible, and that's been my hope. And I realize it's hopeless. Then friends, go tell the Lord that. It's a sin, you go tell him, that's prayer. Go to him and tell him what's on your heart. And then tell him now that you want to rest your hopes on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And what he did for sinners. You want to go and tell him, oh, these are the hopes I abandon. Lord, I rest on Christ alone. He died for sinners. He suffered the penalty for sin. For his sake, receive me. Tell him that. Tell him whatever way you can. He reads the heart. He would understand what you cannot express properly. Go tell him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary, and that's the only hope, my dear friends. It's the only hope set before sinners, Christ, and what he did. You go to the Lord, and that's your only hope. Don't promise God anything. Don't tell him, okay, Lord, I'm turning over a new leaf. Well, the second leaf will be defiled again before long. Hey, rather, I feel me, but turning over a new leaf, don't go and tell him anything. Go tell him that you only give your poor life to his hands and that he should do with it as he wants. You go tell him that. That's all. So you go to him and tell him and pour your heart to him and ask him to forgive you, wash away your sins and cleanse you. Dear friends, would you do that? Would you do that quickly? Don't delay. Go to the Savior and realize your hopes are built upon him alone. Oh, my dear friends, then God will hear you. If you are sincere, that's the word. If you are sincere, that's your pretty word. As someone who hear, no, Sawaya Nukredia, he will answer. He will come. He will forgive you your sins. He would help you to strip off all the hopes. You will see in your own mind's eye the hopelessness of putting your confidence in any of those things you've just mentioned. And Christ alone will be your hope and your all. And friends, my time is up. And let me tell you one. I wish I can mention about 7 or 10. But let me mention only one because I want to finish. One wonderful, significant thing that would happen. Once you go to the Lord sincerely and tell him what your hopes have been and what your life had been and how you desire to turn from them and put your hopes on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Say, Raditiwa. You will be given a sincere heart. When God washes the heart, he will make you very sincere. You know what that sincerity does? It will make you mean everything. And deeply respect God. And deeply fear God. And deeply do things because of him. Genuinely, and your mind will often be because of him. You become a very sincere person, not before people, not for the admiration of people, but in the eyes of the Lord. My dear friends, come, turn to the Lord now, turn to him, dear friends. They will need us to any papa not to train it because of the failure. Ebe mo win gaining admiration for me power, but the failure when I go point me. But turn to the Lord. Make sure the Lord Jesus Christ alone. You look to him and say, because he died for needy sinners like me, I can see myself nothing but sin, nothing but wretchedness. No admiration. And I'm so woman in my affinity. Because your eyes have been opened. And you can see the sense of the heart. The sense of motive. The sense of self-centeredness. And these things are alarming to your soul. And then you would want to love him. And you draw to him. Friends, come to the Savior. You go to Him, ask Him, tell Him to have mercy upon you, and lean upon what He did for sinners on Calvary. Let's